Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
So, Paul Tonko, everybody knows that you are one of the great environmentalists in our politics. Climate change, there are just those people who refuse to believe, no matter what the science, no matter how you show them the polarized cap, anything, that it's happening. Does this make you want to pull your hair out?
Well, I can't afford to, but it does. I think about 97% of the science community believes that in the global warming concept and climate change. And, you know, what I've said to some who are on the fence or outright deniers, forget the labeling or forget that genesis of the concern here. Look at it as economic development. If we grow energy independence, self-sufficiency, and begin to delve into the research and innovation and transformation concepts, all the better for us. We grow American jobs not yet on the radar.
Yeah, but is it too late, Paul?
It, to some...
We saw these hurricanes.
To some people's measurements.
Yeah, we saw these terrible things happening.
Well, you know, if you don't believe in the carbon emissions situation, well, I think methane will be much more convincing. But if we can't afford to go that far down the path where there's no, you know, turnaround available...
We saw Paris. They just said even number cars can only drive every other day, and all of a sudden things get a little clearer.
Well, you know, not only should we inspire a global discussion on this topic for the environment's sake, but for the sake of fairness when it comes to job creation and job retention. You know, we're doing our share. More so than other nations, even with the denial and with the stall tactics in this country, we're at least running forward with sound environmental policy. We have to ramp it up to respond to the climate change. I'm subcommittee ranker.
Meaning you're the head Democrat.
On the subcommittee on environment and the economy that reports to Energy and Commerce, my only committee assignment. And when you hear some of these statements made by your colleagues, it's absolute rejection of science, and we can't have it that way. This nation has always embraced its intellectual capacity, and for us to walk away from facts and data that are very convincing is wrong. And again, it's a job creator. It allows for us to produce these investments in research that equals jobs, these investments in retrofitting, perhaps manufacturing to advance manufacturing as a stage where there's more efficiency. So however we address our energy supplies, we have to be efficient in generating them, efficient in transmitting them, and efficient in consuming them. And these supplies are not easy to come by. And we need a clean energy mix. You know, this nation, with the president's leadership, could be going forward with a very sound agenda where you introduce the renewables, you provide the president in this budget calls for a permanent, a reinstallment and a permanent quality to the production tax credit. The, you know, the business community has understood that that's a very important aspect to transitioning us to a renewable outcome. Storage, research, so that you can store intermittent power that comes from the renewables. The ability to grow our own supplies, you know,
Let me stop you there and ask you about that, because this president has also been in favor of fracking,
right?
Which is very controversial here in New York State.
Right.
What are you thinking?
You know, I'm not ready to give carte blanche to the hydrofracking concept. You know, as a scientist, I want us to err on the side of science, and there should be this list, check-off list, that, you know, authorizes us to incrementally walk through the potential to provide it. And all of those checkoffs would include items like water treatment facilities. Some of these host or donor communities, I would bet, don't have the infrastructure to treat the water. the polluted water, which is a byproduct of this process. Where is the set-aside? Where is the talk about resources for that purpose? Where is the set-aside, the contingency fund for cleanup? And we know that in cases in this country where they've had that, it's been very costly. Where is the community right to know? Where is the absolute requirement to tell the community and responders of the community, healthcare workers of the community, just what you're pumping into the soil? We should know that. Look what happened in the West Virginia area with the spill of chemicals into the river. You know, now the community is battling with the industry to find out exactly what was pumped into the water. So we need to know that. We need to have a set aside for roads and highways because of the inordinate amount of traffic that will be part of it. It's characteristic of the hydrofracking and a number of things that ought to be serving as checkoffs. I co-chair SEEK, the Sustainable Energy and Environment Coalition, in the House. And Jerry Conley of Virginia and Steve Israel of the New York delegation, the three of us are co-chairs. We searched to bring in guests. We had our panel, our task force asked for, the coalition asked for a discussion on hydrofracking. We brought in four people who are deeply involved with hydrofracking. One from California, one from Colorado, one from Illinois, one from Pennsylvania. To a person, they all said there has to be at least a minimum standard of regulation that applies to this. So to jump pell-mell into this, you know, they were speaking from experience. Pennsylvania had some very hefty bills that had to be paid, some really daunting challenges with cleanup. And you know, people will sometimes forget all of the, you know, historic evidence and data compilation that's part of the business. And I think we should be very concerned simply because of the potential of us transitioning over to a water-based economy. We've talked about this before. I think we're weaning off an oil-based economy into a water-based. Well, when you look at our geographic setting, you know, we're poised for greatness if that comes to be, simply because we're the connector between a great ocean and the Great Lakes, the largest compilation of freshwater bodies in the world. So why would we want to risk the pristine quality of water that we require? We should build that rather than, you know, challenge it. And, you know, again, erring on the side of caution, having all these green lights, and not rushing pell-mell into something simply because there's this drive to become one fuel dependent, which in my energy thinking is not a sound thing. You know, I'm a product of a mill town that became one industry dependent on the carpet industry. When you do that, you know, all your eggs in one basket, devastating things can happen if your destiny is controlled by that one force. And we shouldn't be one fuel dependent. We should be a sound, healthy mix, a diverse mix of fuel sources or non-fuel sources such as our renewables or the very best fuel, efficiency, the fuel of choice. That should be our fuel of choice.
Paul Tonko, I have such respect for you, and I thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure, always.